Hi, and welcome to a special Undisclosed Explainer. My name is Rabia Chaudhry, and I'm joined with my colleagues Susan Simpson and Colin Miller. And we just wanted to put out something short and sweet in response to some surprise news that we all got this past Friday. Now, I was traveling on Friday. I happened to be heading to Austin for a conference when I got a call from Adnan's attorney, Justin Brown, who let me know that he had received a call from the courthouse that the judge had issued an order in response to his motion to reopen the post-conviction proceedings. Now, I was a little bit surprised because the order came a little more quickly than I anticipated, because I believe Adnan's response had been filed just in the past couple of weeks. So not too much time had passed. And of course, the happier news for us was that the judge had granted Justin's motion. And so we've gotten a lot of questions about what this order means. It's a pretty short order. You can find it on Justin's website. If you follow him on Twitter or just Google it, really, you'll find the order. But it seems to include allowing Asia McLean's testimony in, allowing in new evidence about the cell phone tower and fax cover sheet, and also exploring issues of prosecutorial misconduct. So I'm going to now turn it over to Colin and Susan to kind of parse out what this means, what it's going to look like, and what the next steps will probably be.
There are two major parts of the court's order. The first part has to deal with Asia McLean, and the court decided, quote, after reviewing petitioner's filings and respondent's consolidated response, this court concludes that, in its own discretion, reopening the post-conviction proceedings would be in the interest of justice for all parties. This will allow the petitioner to introduce the January 13, 2015 affidavit from McLean, the potential testimony of McLean, and relevant evidence concerning petitioner's claims of ineffective counsel and alleged prosecutorial misconduct. In other words, Asia gets to testify, and the parties can bring in all associated evidence concerning Asia's testimony and Gutierrez's failure to call her at the time of Adnan's original trial.
Yeah, and Susan, to me that seems pretty broad because Judge Welch says any relevant evidence, so presumably that can mean evidence of disciplinary action against Gutierrez. It could be other witnesses who would be able to say what her mental state and workload was like in 99 and 2000. I mean, it just seems really broad in what would be allowed.
Well, I think the judge recognizes that there's no way to effectively examine these issues in artificial isolation from the rest of the record. Now, it's the Asia issue that this part of the order concerns, but in order to fully explore what happened here and why Gutierrez didn't call her, whether she ever attempted to contact her, whether she ever investigated the potential alibi that Asia could have given at trial, that requires looking at things beyond simply Asia's testimony or the letter she wrote. It necessarily includes things like Gutierrez's record at that time period, her abilities at that time period, and general evidence impacting her ability to be an effective counsel for Adnan.
Yeah, we know that in his most recent filing, Justin submitted an affidavit from Ken Wisher, a former associate of Gutierrez, about the alibi notice. We know there was an affidavit from Krista about how Woodlawn students consider the Woodlawn Public Library part of the Woodlawn School campus. So presumably both of those are fair game and can be considered by the judge as well. So, I mean, this is really, to me, a home run. It allows the judge to consider anything relevant whatsoever, which I think is huge in sorting out these factual issues in the case.
Do you also think that would allow Justin to introduce evidence of, if it's helpful and relevant, Christina's medical condition and how that might have impacted her performance or her caseload at the time, things that we've talked about in the past episodes?
I think it's a possibility. The difficulty is we're not entirely sure of the medical condition, so I'm not sure in terms of that what can be presented, but I think certainly the defalcations, the amount of recovery against her, the other cases we've mentioned about failing to contact alibi witnesses and any other assorted misconduct by Gutierrez, I think all would be something circumstantially that could have bearing upon the claim of ineffective assistance.
In her history of a failure to contact alibi witnesses is absolutely relevant, I think.
And when it comes to the Asia issue, there's also the question of why she did not appear for the first post-conviction hearing. So with regard to that, I'm assuming those are questions that will be explored. And what I understand is that Asia apparently took notes when she spoke to Kevin Urick. So do you think also that the prosecutor, Kevin Urick, would also be called to counter Asia's testimony, or any thoughts on that?
Well, a non's attorney could call him too, for that matter.
Yeah, I don't know whether either side would have that incentive to call Yurik to testify. Certainly Asia will testify. The rules of evidence don't apply at PCR hearings. The notes themselves could be admissible, even if they're not directly admissible. She could use them to refresh her recollection. These are events from a few years ago. So those would certainly be helpful one way or another at the hearing.
So you don't think it would serve the state to call Yurik to counter, like, with his recollection of the conversation?
Yeah, and the question is, what's their level of concern about Justin's cross-examination of him and what that might reveal? It's risky. The second part of Judge Welch's order says that Justin can present relevant evidence relating to A, trial counsel's alleged failure to cross-examine respondent's expert on the reliability of the cell tower location evidence, and B, potential prosecutorial misconduct during trial. What this means basically is that the cover sheet that Susan was able to uncover about incoming calls being unreliable for determining location is now on the table. It can be used to prove either ineffective assistance of counsel or a Brady violation, in other words, prosecutorial misconduct. I read that possibly as anything, including Crime Stoppers, other potential Brady violations being fair game.
Yeah, so it's clear that the court is interested in hearing about the Asia issue and the failure of Gutierrez to adequately address the cell phone evidence. But like I said, in order to address those issues, it wouldn't make sense for the court to put blinders on and to only look at things that say on their face, this is related to Asia, this is related to the AT&T evidence, because it is part of a larger story. The court's decision will likely end up being based on those two specific issues, but in order to evaluate them, I expect that this hearing will be covering a lot of ground.
A big question that people have, and in fact, we all kind of have, is the timing of the hearing. So I keep getting asked over and over, when is this hearing going to take place? Now, the judge's order said that the parties have to come together within 10 days to set a date. So we will get that date in the next 7 to 9 days, maybe even within this week. And while I tend to think that in situations like this, where, first of all, you have a judge that only has this one case on his docket, but the courts want to try to dispense with things before holidays, but I have a feeling because of the very broad set of issues that the hearing could potentially touch on, that the parties will need a few months to prepare. But that's just my thought. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I doubt it'll be 2015, but it sounds like it's going to be early 2016, which again is lightning fast for the court system. This has all moved so much faster than could have reasonably been anticipated at the start.
Yeah, I'm thinking early 2016 too, and I'm thinking and I'm hoping actually maybe no earlier than late January, February, because I happen to be out of the country in January. So, you know, but we'll know. We'll know in the next 7 to 10 days what that date will be. Another question that I've gotten is whether or not Adnan will be present, and also whether or not the hearing will be public or televised or streamed or anything like that. Adnan will be present for the hearing. A lot of us will be present for the hearing. Whether or not it's televised or recorded or all of those things are considerations for the court. They're going to have to decide how they're going to do it. I remember when we were anticipating the hearing happening over the summer at the Court of Special Appeals, there were conversations between the court and Justin that they were looking for an appropriate courtroom to accommodate the public interest because the Court of Special Appeals has a very small room. Now we're going to be back in circuit court. Courtrooms are bigger, but obviously it will be a lot of people trying to get into there. And what would make sense is for the judge to allow it to be televised so that there isn't such a rush to get in the door itself. But that's going to have to be something that's worked out with all the parties involved. It'll be up to the judge. I mean, some judges are just not happy with that kind of stuff and they don't want it.
Yeah, and that leaves the question of the possible outcomes here. What we now have are a few issues that could lead to Judge Welch granting Adnan a new trial. One, the judge could now, after Asia testifies and other evidence is presented, reverse his prior ruling and find Gutierrez was ineffective for failing to contact her. That would be a new trial. The judge could find Gutierrez was ineffective for failing to question the cell tower evidence. That would be a new trial. Or the judge could find a Brady violation, that the prosecution failed in its disclosures regarding the cell tower evidence. That would also be a new trial. Now, in any of those cases, the state would almost certainly appeal to the Court of Special Appeals of Maryland. If the judge rejects relief on all three of those grounds, then in that case, Justin almost certainly would appeal to the Court of Special Appeals of Maryland. Now, of course, you might remember the Court of Special Appeals of Maryland has already granted an appeal on the issue of whether Gutierrez was ineffective in failing to ask about a plea bargain. So whatever's going to happen at this original PCR level, it's going to be appealed to the Court of Special Appeals. And then again, whichever party loses there, almost certainly the losing party will appeal to Maryland's highest court, the Maryland Court of Appeals. So it would be nice to think we'll have possible relief soon, but this is going to be a protracted process. It's going to take time before Maryland has its final ruling on the issue.
So the other question is a hypothetical. We're not close to this yet, and this could be putting the cart before the horse. But we've also had people ask whether or not Adnan could be released if the trial judge were to find that there was either a Brady violation or ineffective assistance. And if at that point Adnan could be released on bail pending the appeals, which could take a year or years to be fully resolved. And yes, that is a possibility. Defendants in state court cases, like in Maryland, can be released on bail pending the appeals if a trial court decision is rendered. It finds they should have a new trial or otherwise reverses their conviction. However, that's going to be a case-by-case consideration. And right now, I don't have a sense of whether or not it's likely that Adnan would be granted bail.
Well, that's it for our special Undisclosed Explainer, but I do want to, before we wrap up, thank our listeners for the tremendous amount of support that you guys have shown us, especially on Friday. I mean, we get it all the time, but on Friday, the outpouring was incredible. I mean, it's still overwhelming to me, and I'm still trying to kind of emotionally wrap my head around it. I want to remind listeners that, you know, Serial and Undisclosed and all these things have happened in the last year, but our effort for the post-conviction appeal, our effort to get Asia specifically in front of a judge, began in 2009. That's when I believe we hired Justin and that this process began. So it's been a long time coming, but you know, your tweets, your messages, and your support mean so very much to all of us. So thank you for that. So stay tuned later tonight, Undisclosed Addendum. That's going to drop at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. And so we will see you then.